You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Ronnie Landfield. Ronnie, thanks so much for being with me today.
It's nice to be here. Very nice to
Ronnie,
be here.
I know you're getting ready for a show in the city, so tell me a little bit about what you're working on now in your studio and the show that you're getting ready for.
Well, actually, in fact, my show opened last night. The show is at the Findlay Gallery at 724 Fifth Avenue. They represent me. They've been representing me now for about 4 years, I believe. And paintings are, for the most part, dated from 2019, new paintings. I know in the main room in the gallery, there's a painting from 2017, which is recent. And pretty much most of the other paintings in the gallery right now that are up, with the exception of, I think there's one from 1996, are basically 2019 paintings. They're, in a way, if you know my work, sort of, I guess people say my work is related to color field painting or lyrical abstraction.
Let's talk about that, and maybe in the relationship with the early paintings that are exhibited to the 2019. I mean, you've done. I am aware of the variety of work you've done. I mean, starting in the early days with minimalist work and different things, and it looks like starting in about the 70s. But just correct me if I'm wrong. Is when you began using color that evolved into the way it evolved now, right? This has been. The way you've been painting with color has been a similar approach since then, hasn't it, or no?
Well, it has, but I would, in fact, say essentially I saw color as a psychological language even through my minimal series paintings, those border paintings that I did in 1965, 1966, finished the series. I started making, in essence, stained landscapes, or began to think in terms of complex spatial, this is about space, around 1968, painting like St. Augustine.
You said stained landscapes.
Right.
You know, then
there's
it
a
does almost
painting
look called like
for
watercolor
William Blake.
Or something.
Pardon?
Right. Yeah, it almost looks like watercolor or I don't know.
Yeah,
what
but
mean,
it's
like
9.5 feet by 26 feet. That'd be kind of a big watercolor. I mean, it's essentially acrylic paint that is cut with water, yes. But then they're really not watercolors. They're in fact quite large, most of them. And
you were just about to mention one that was an homage for
William Blake.
For William Blake.
Yeah. That was kind of like, to a certain extent, my first major stained landscape painting. It's about 9.5 by 26 feet, and I showed it for a year. The painting was made in 1968, and it was exhibited. For the year of 2002 in Tower 49, along with four other paintings of mine, large paintings, two others from 68 and two at the time that were new, 2002, a painting called The Deluge and another one. I think those were in the show. But for William Blake, I always admired Blake. When I was a kid, I wasn't that young, but college years, I was in Berkeley. And I thought Blake was a very, very intense inspiration.
So talk to me about the stained canvases and that term. That sounds like a technique that almost looks like, I know I mentioned watercolor, and of course it's not, but it reminded me of some of the staining, what was it, Helen Frankenthaler was doing, or she wasn't doing staining, but
she wasn't the first stain painter, though, because James Brooks did it before she did. and she saw James Brooks's paintings. Helen always credited staining with the paintings of Jackson Pollock's of 1951, because he did stain into raw canvas in 1951, usually black into raw canvas. But James Brooks, who was a neighbor of Pollock's, lived in Amagansett, was staining even before Pollock. But ironically enough, Joan Miró made stain paintings in the 1920s. I hear that Helen Frankenthaler invented stain painting, and that is so wrong. So utterly, completely, and totally wrong. But
right.
She made great stain paintings. She was a great painter. Helen was a wonderful painter, but she certainly did not invent that technique. Not a chance. Although she influenced Ken Noland and Morris Lewis.
Right.
And Friedel Zubas.
And what is the technique that you're using? Is it because they're not really similar techniques?
I learned the technique from... Pardon? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
They're not even similar techniques. I said, tell me about the technique, because it's not even similar to what those other artists are doing. The stain technique, so to speak, is done in a number of different ways, right?
Well, that's true. Or, depends on what you want to do.
Right.
I do things the way I want them to turn out, and I do them my way. I've been doing them, frankly, since 1969. 68, 69, I started making these stain paintings in various different ways. But essentially, I learned how to use the paint so it would do what I wanted it to do from Sam Golden.
Sam Golden, huh?
Indeed. Who is Sam Golden?
Yes, tell us about Sam Golden.
I'm happy to. Sam Golden was the nephew of Leonard Beaucourt. Leonard Beaucourt, back in the day, was essentially one of the people that sold paint to artists. And Sam, who was about the same age as Lenny Beaucourt, was Sam's nephew. And Morris Lewis, very famous artist, approached Lenny Beaucourt and said, I want you to make me a paint that will penetrate into the fabric of my cotton canvas. And Lenny asked Sam if he had any ideas about how to do that. And Sam, who told me this story many years ago, during World War II, had worked for the laundry for the United States. He was in the Army, and he was assigned to the laundry. And they used to have to clean dirty tents and knapsacks and canteen holders that had all kinds of stains on them. I didn't even want to ask him what kind of stain. And so he managed to figure out how to make this soap penetrate into the cotton of the canvas. And correlating that back up now to the 1950s, when he's working with his uncle Lenny, and Morris Lewis is asking, how can we do this paint so it penetrates into the canvas? Sam invented something that he called water tension breaker, which you add to the paint, which fluids the paint out and enables it to penetrate into the canvas. They made it initially, and they called it Magna, and almost all of Lewis's famous paintings are made with Magna. Helen began to then add turpentine to her paintings, so as just initially she made her stain paintings with oil paint, as did Pollock and Jim Brooks and these other people I mentioned, long before acrylic paint. Lenny began to create a line of acrylic paint that many of us began to use. I gave up using oil paint, as I remember, in 1964, in the early 60s. And Sam Golden went on to create Golden Acrylics, which is still around today. Sam's gone, but his son, Mark, runs the company. And
I'm so glad you told that story because, yeah, Golden, you're saying, I mean, go on, you're saying they enabled what? The process
yes.
that you're using, essentially.
Indeed, yes. Yes, they enabled us painters this enormous technical advance so that we could use this paint. Because initially, when I was using acrylic paint, it didn't do much. It really didn't. It wasn't very rich. It would sit on the surface. It was plastic. And you couldn't really get a whole lot of quality out of the paint until now. And it's just endless. It's wonderful. Thanks to Sam Golden, whom most people are not aware. A lot of artists are, but yeah.
So I'm so glad you mentioned that. And let's talk about how that transitioned to the work now, because that was the work we're talking about in the 70s. You're not staining the way you were.
1960s, not 70s.
Right. 60s. So what happened in the 70s that led up to now? Because you changed the way you were staining at some point, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, during the 70s, I kind of decided to maybe stop staining. I was quite young. I mean, I was in my middle 20s. And I had made stain paintings through the late 60s into the early 70s. And by the middle 70s, I started making all kinds of different paintings. And I started using canvas that was gessoed, that wasn't stained. That I started making line paintings where I was just basically drawing with paint tubes, very large paintings. I showed them at the Andre Emmerich Gallery. And by the late 1970s, 1978, 77, 78, I went back in a new way to making my stain paintings. And then I had a major show of those in 1980. So really,
And what was the new way? Did the new way, I mean, if I can ask about that, that departed from what you were doing before, but it still was with golden paint or mediums?
No. I mean, basically, my stain paintings from the 60s, as I said, you know, started in the late 60s, using water tension breaker from the Goldens. Those were what I considered to be, back then in the late 60s, organic. Now, there's a painting of mine at the Museum of Modern Art collection. There are two paintings that the Whitney Museum own of mine from 1969. Those are my organic stain paintings. When I went back to staining, I considered the paintings I did like in 1977, 1978, with big shapes, some of which there's one related to that in my show right now at the Findlay Gallery. Those paintings I consider to be empirical in that I'm drawing shapes with a brush. I'm actually putting it down. The organic paintings, I'm just throwing it on the floor and letting it kind of controlling as I put it down and letting it kind of almost form itself. Those are my organic stains. And lately I've been using both techniques, empirical and organic together.
So that's what's in the current show that's just
yes,
open.
Yes, you can see both the organic and the empirical, yeah, together.
So great. There'll
using
be a link
color
to
as language.
So tell me a little bit about that then. Now that we're kind of up to this show and talking about your past a bit, in this current show, there's works from that span, you know, sounds like almost a decade. How did you put this group together? It sounds like they kind of talked
about
it.
No. Most of the paintings in the show right now are from 2019. They're new paintings.
Oh, okay.
There is one hanging from 96, I think they have them, that relates to these, when I just described the organic via empirical is, which actually include both techniques in the paintings. The new ones have, in essence, both techniques that I've used in the past, with hard edge bands in many cases. Yeah.
And in terms of the palette for this show, has the palette changed in the work for this particular show?
To some degree, yeah. There's a lot of dark blue paintings. And I think, in essence, a dark blue, I mean, is, you know, there's reds and yellows and oranges, et cetera, and violets and purples. But overall, the paintings are intense. A lot of them are dark, and I think it's a reflection of what I feel, what's going on now. These are intense, dark times, I think.
I think so, too.
So
the show is, how long will the show be up for?
It'll be up for, well, certainly for the month of October. It opened yesterday.
Well, congratulations on that opening, and I hope the listeners will go see it. There's, of course, links here to get the exact address.
724 Fifth Avenue. Yeah.
Great. And let me ask you one more question. What are you reading at the moment?
Sure. Lately, I haven't been reading. I haven't been reading. I mean, basically, I've been writing. Now, you know, there's an artist friend of mine named Ron Davis. Ron is an L.A. artist who then moved to New Mexico, made some incredible paintings in the late 60s. We became friends. We started a website in 1979 called abstract-art.com, and I've been writing. I've been writing essays. I wrote an essay about Monet. I wrote an essay about the 60s in the art world, New York art world. And lately, I've been working on some new essays. That's what I've been, I guess I've been reading a lot of these kind of art critical writings by various people.
By various people, you mean in the research for the current writing?
I read Barbara Rose, and I've been reading Carter Radcliffe and various other people that I like.
Well, Ronnie, I want to thank you for talking to me today and wish you great luck on your show.
Thank you so much, Brainerd.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.